Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Technocraft Industries India Limited Q4 and FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Systematix Institutional Equities. This conference call may contain forward-looking statement about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinion, and expectation of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant line will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask question after the presentation conclude. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Anshika Patnaik from Systematix Institutional Equities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, we welcome you all to the Q4 FY 2026 conference call of Technocraft Industries India Limited. From the management side, we have Mr. Navneet Kumar Saraf, Director and CEO, Mr. Ashish Kumar Saraf, Director and CFO, and Mr. Anil Garodia, Group CFO. I'll now hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, followed by the Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Technocraft's Q4 earnings call. We are happy to see your participation, and we look forward to an engaging session of Q&A to discuss our Q4 performance. I would now like to request the Systematix team to start the conference. Thank you.
Shall we begin with the question and answer session?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Chetan Vora from Abakkus Asset Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for the team. Sir, can you just elaborate, you know, how FY 2027 looks like across all the segments, JUMP Closure, Scaffolding, and Engineering going ahead, sir?
Yeah, thank you for your question. It is actually quite difficult to give forward-looking projections at this time. As I had even said earlier, we are living in very volatile times. Geopolitical conditions worldwide are extremely volatile, and in fact, not even a year, it's also difficult nowadays to predict quarters going ahead. Having said that, I think, looking at the most recent completed quarter, what we are seeing is that the business momentum is quite strong in the U.S. Our scaffolding business in the U.S., which faced two slow quarters last year, particularly the September quarter, has recovered quite nicely and rapidly in the March quarter. We are seeing a strong momentum even going forward into the June quarter across. This is mainly driven by investments in AI and tech ecosystem-driven infrastructure, which is leading to increased demand uptake of scaffolding. We are seeing good momentum in the June quarter. We are also seeing stable demand for JUMP Closures. There doesn't seem to be new challenges associated with tariffs. Whatever tariffs are there are now absorbed and consumed in our pricing, and customers are paying for it. Barring unforeseen new geopolitical events that can create supply challenges, demand challenges, we expect a better year going ahead. That's the current status.
All right, sir. In terms of the better year now, the thing in terms of the West Asia war crisis has subsided, and we understand the things would have started falling in place. As you said, the underlying demand remains to be strong if nothing unforeseen comes up. We are looking out to be better year compared to FY 2026. Is that right assessment?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, coming to the scaffolding front, for the quarter, though the revenue was flattish, there was a sharp uptick on the margin front. Can you elaborate for that, sir? What was the reason for that?
There were some one-time benefits pertaining to, quantity discounts that we obtained in this quarter for steel. This amounted to almost 20 crores, which does not represent only the quarter. So this was pertaining to previous quarters. So I think there is a 20 crore additional income in this quarter, which is a one-time effect. So that needs to be taken into consideration when reviewing the profit results.
Yeah, if we adjust for that, the margin comes to 16%. So is that right assessment?
Correct.
The margin
Correct.
Going forward will be 16-17%, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Then, sir, on the scaffolding again, we have seen sharp uptick on the metal prices. So how do we see this vertical to be performing? Because this is the growing vertical and the growth engine for us. So how do we see the scaffolding unfolding for us, sir?
Yes, the raw material prices have been very volatile, but we've been able to absorb this. Steel prices have increased by almost 25% over the last 3 months, but we've been able to pass them on, so there is no real pressure on margins. Same applies with aluminum. We are fortunately very nicely backward integrated, so we produce our own aluminum extrusions, and we've been able to therefore take advantage of that. So we are able to manage the increase in raw material costs.
Right, sir. So in terms of the drum closure, it's going quite strongly for us and in terms of the profitability also. So how do you see the drum closure to be going ahead for us?
It is quite stable. There has been, as you saw, some increase in the quantity of drum closure sales as well this financial year compared to the last. And the pricing has also been stable. There has been some, so we are on track with single-digit revenue growth. China continues to grow strongly, and the rest of the countries, we are growing at about 4-5% in terms of quantity and price growth. So that's where we are. And we expect to continue that.
And sir, any because the scaffolding and the formwork capacity what has been coming up, which has come to 2 years before on stream, any incremental CapEx on the scaffolding side, sir?
No, nothing significantly major. There are some minor capacity increases that we are doing. Some increases in capacity are happening because of our debottlenecking efforts. So that will happen. So there will be some increase in scaffolding output in 26-27 as a result of that.
Right, sir.
But we are but we will embark on the next phase of expansion in our formwork towards the end of this financial year in Aurangabad. So that effect we will see in FY28 and FY29.
Right, sir. So in the engineering vertical, as you have mentioned in your comments in the presentation, that we are seeing quite impact because of the AI transformation. So how do we see this vertical performing for us? Because for the quarter, growth rate was very quite strong. But in terms of the profitability, despite the revenue growth of 45%, the improvement margin was there, but it was not to the extent of the growth seen in the vertical, sir.
So AI is a great opportunity for us, and we are treating it as an opportunity. We are actually investing heavily in that, and if we see it as an opportunity and if we invest in it in terms of we have to re-engineer some of the services that we offer to customers. Instead of it being purely manpower-based, we have to now use a lot of AI, and for that, we have to build applications. Plus, we have to also develop some of our own products which we are working on. So we are embracing AI in Technosoft to create new services, new products. Demand is very strong, which is why we see growth in revenue, but we are also investing. And as a result of our investments, there can be some slower growth in the bottom line, and the bottom line may not grow in the same proportion as the top line. So that's where we are.
So the going ahead, can we see the engineering vertical as we have invested in strengthening the bench and in capability? Should this engineering vertical be like, you know, 120-130 crores per quarter, sir?
In terms of revenue, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It will not be 120-130 crores per quarter. Currently, it is 80 crores a quarter. So it cannot jump from there to 120 in one quarter or so. But the way it is growing at about 8%-10% every quarter. And I think that growth will continue.
Right, sir. That's it for my answer.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address all the questions from the participants, we request you to kindly limit your question to two questions per participant. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Our next question comes from the line of Siva with the iThought PMS. Please go ahead. Siva, you may please proceed ahead with the question. As there are no responses from Siva, we'll move forward to the next participant. Next question comes from the line of Rahul Kumar with the Vaikarya Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So just on this Macwan segment, aluminum Macwan segment, so our volumes have been a bit soft for the past 6 months. So can you help us understand the challenge in this segment as of now, and what is the outlook over here?
Yes, the volumes have been lower than what we also anticipated. And this segment, it's really dominated by the progress and offtake of projects in the real estate segment. What we've been seeing in India is that while the demand has been strong in terms of launch of new projects, and as a result, there is strong order inflow, but execution is not following at the same pace. This has a number of reasons: approvals from consultants, architects, site readiness, increase in raw material costs, and availability of funding immediately. All these things can affect developers' ability. So that's really been the reason. So we've been seeing delays in offtakes from customers. As a result, our inventories have also increased. But we are not concerned about this because we are in close touch with the customers. So we know all the projects are on stream, but it is normal to see delays like this. So that's the reason why there has been a little bit of softness in the deliveries.
Okay. Okay. So in this segment, how has our order book actually moved, let's say, versus the last quarter?
The order book has been higher this quarter. There has been a growth in the order book. And yeah, so the orders, in terms of total order book quantity, we are quite comfortably poised. Even today, we are sitting on order books in excess of 4.5 lakh sq m, which is more than 6 months, actually, of our current production capacity. So we are quite comfortably poised.
Okay. 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 Understood. Understood. Second question is on the engineering segment, actually. So in this segment, your billing is based on the headcount basis or outcome basis. And in that context, how are we dealing with this, any disruption because of AI?
Billing is headcount basis, hourly rate basis for most of our services. There are some services where the billing is also fixed price, etc., but largely it is on service basis, on man-hour basis, not outcome basis. And as far as AI is concerned, like I said earlier, we are using AI in our services, and we are building various automations, and we are building various platforms which enable lesser manpower. And as a result of that, we have some benefits, and we have arrangements with customers to share such benefits because on one hand, the quantum of man-hour reduces, but on the other hand, there is also additional technology cost of hardware and software to implement those same, and those things are then charged. So net-net, there is a saving which is shared. So those are, we are in early stages of that.
Okay. And the Middle East...
I'm sorry, but you may please rejoin the queue for more questions. Please limit question only two. Thank you.
Okay.
Reminder to all the participants, please limit the question to two questions per participant. Our next question comes from the line of Avnish Tiwari with Banker Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just to continue on that Middle East question, can you just articulate what are the products you are selling right now in the Middle East and what are the scale you have? Not just this crisis, but before that, maybe before this whole Middle East crisis begins.
So Middle East is, we are selling scaffolding and formwork there. We have an active distributor. So, you know, in all the GCC countries, we are selling scaffolding, formwork. We also have a few drum closure customers there. So those are the two primary engineering products that we sell there. I don't think we sell any textiles there. We don't do any textiles in Middle East. So primarily, we do scaffolding, formwork, and drum closure.
How much revenue you would have accrued, let's say, fiscal 26 or ballpark range? Is it like scaffolding, formwork business in Middle East?
Just going to have to rely on my CFO to tell you that. About 15% of our scaffolding division revenue in FY26 would have come from the Middle East.
Great. The second question I have is that in your macaron business, what are the top clients you have you garnered in India? Let's say either a firm order book or already in the revenue base. If you can just help us, give us some idea about these top clients.
See, we are dealing with almost 120 different customers in India, and the top client profile keeps changing because this is not a business where, you know, you are going to service the same customers over and over again, because aluminium formwork is a capital item, and once purchased, it's going to be used for a certain amount of time. Having said that, we are dealing with numerous national pan-India developers like Lodha, like Birla Estates, Godrej Properties, Mahindra, Tata, Kalpataru, Sobha. All of these are our customers. And obviously, given their size, their volumes do come in our top 10. So these are some of the top clients, and they keep changing in terms of number one, number two, number three. But if I were to look at the top 10 or 15, I would expect at least 70 to 80% of these names always figuring.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ruchit Agarwal from Unifi Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on the numbers. So my first question is on scaffolding. Since we consolidate a quarter prior for scaffolding, are we expecting some sort of margin impact for especially the March month, given some escalation in freight costs for our U.S. business on the scaffolding side?
No, we are not expecting, March quarter, you said March month. I mean, March quarter, we have already published the results. So March quarter, it is what it is. And if you are meaning the next quarter, which is the June quarter.
US being consolidated on 3 months lag.
Okay. I think my CFO has just clarified. I think you may be referring to the US subsidiary Jan to March, which will get consolidated right in the April to June. No, we are not expecting any impact in the margins due to freight. Those have been absorbed and they have been passed on.
Got it. That's helpful. And on the formwork bit, you mentioned that you mentioned last quarter that South America is doing well. Any contribution from that side, if you can help us with some numbers, and how big of an opportunity do we see? Also, if you can give some sort of volume guidance on the formwork exports bit.
South America has been doing well, but it's a small market. You know, it's not as big in scale as India. Our exports there are mainly to Brazil, Mexico, Colombia. In FY26, the contribution of that in our formwork business is about 3% of the total formwork volume, which is quite small. But the order inflows are increasing, so I expect those to increase, but it will never be more than 10%.
Got it, sir. And sir, if I may just squeeze in one last on the formwork, we had a run rate of about 40,000 and you mentioned that we're seeing some delays. When do we expect the 70 to 75,000 monthly run rate on formwork? Any timelines that we're looking at?
No, not really. And you know, I said that earlier also. Actually, that is not something we worry about. You know, we are not obsessed with how quickly we can increase the volumes. On the other hand, we are, you know, currently more focused on improving our operational efficiencies, because formwork is a very involved business. It involves integration of engineering, manufacturing, site supervision, inventory management. So we are more focused on dealing with good quality customers and getting the margins that we need in the business, optimizing our fixed costs and doing what we are doing efficiently. The 70,000, the 80,000 will come naturally as a result of doing this. But we are not chasing it actively.
Got it, sir. And how much would our utilization...
I'm sorry, but you may please rejoin the queue for more questions. Yeah. Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Anubhav Mukherjee from Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, you are, yes. Please.
So thanks for the opportunity. My first question is that I think we had received approval from EU for our scaffolding business like last year. So can you give some color on like how are we seeing like the scaffolding exports to Europe in the coming years?
Yeah, so we had received approval from Poland, the B certificate which was required. It has given some effect wherein, you know, our sales of scaffolding there used to be zero. To that extent, last year it was about 1.5% of total scaffolding revenue, which is again very, very small. The market there has still been very dull. You know, the EU has... Still not really picked up to the level that it is required to pick up, and still reeling from the effect of Russia-Ukraine war. And so we are patiently awaiting that. But at least we have seen a positive effect of our certification.
Yes, sir. And sir, I have a basic question. Currently, what will be the tariff in U.S. on both our product segments, drum closure and scaffolding?
Scaffolding is 50% because we fall under Section 232, and drum closure has now also been added under Section 232, and it's 25%. 27.6 to be precise, because there is a, yeah.
Okay, the tariffs continue to be like at a high level.
Yes.
Sir, we were absorbing some of the tariff in our P&L.
So now we don't need to, because this is no longer country specific. This is a tariff on all countries. This is a standard tariff on all countries exporting it. So we are at the same level playing field. And on the other hand, China is an exception which pays additional 25 on top of this. So we are at an advantage over China. So we don't need to absorb anything. We are able to pass this on to the customers and they are paying.
Yes, sir. So are we looking like already we have witnessed a revival in demand from here. So you expect that to continue given like...
Yes. Yes. And sir, yes. We are keeping our fingers crossed.
Yes, sir. Sir, one small bookkeeping question. Can you give a split of the revenue of the like scaffolding and formwork division between scaffolding and formwork like for the year?
Yeah, it is roughly, this year it was roughly 50-50. So 1,342 crores, I think about 680 crores or so was scaffolding and about 660 crores or so was formwork.
Yes.
So almost 50-50.
Thanks, I'll get back into you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. So my first question is in terms of in our backward integration aluminum formwork business, what is the kind of utilizations we are doing there?
It's 100% now.
So it is at 100%, okay.
Yeah.
And that last year it would be around FY26?
No, FY26 was 100%. Full FY26 was 100% and it continues to be at 100%.
Got it. Second question is in terms of volume. We are seeing that even for drum closure, the volume since last two quarters, for the entire year was negative versus last year. Could you elaborate what can be the particular reason for drum closure?
If, you know, comparing it from March quarter of last year to March quarter of this year is actually not a very good comparison. You know, yes, compared to that, it is down by, I think, 10 lakh sets. But, you know, March quarter last year was a very volatile quarter. Tariffs had just come in and demand was all over the place. So, you know, there is no one good reason, to be honest.
Okay, but there's no impact on demand, right? Because
there is no impact. I mean, there is no, we are not seeing closure of drum factories. We are not seeing a sustained scale down in production in drum factories. So those things we are not seeing.
Got it. And in terms of margin, the margins were also pretty good. So was it a pass on the cost impact?
Yeah, it was. You know, rupee depreciation has also helped.
Okay. Could you help me how much will be the Forex impact for this quarter?
Anilji?
Yes, the Forex for the quarter was 20 crores.
20 crores, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now coming to our second division, scaffolding division. So what I can see is that our U.S. business has turned around and now what was happening because of the tariff, now things are better. So in the current month, like in terms of March and April, March, April, May, how are things there? Are the did we just see a one-time impact of demand resurgence or we are seeing sustained demand resurgence?
At the moment, we are seeing a sustained demand resurgence. Like I said, since December 25, there has been an uptick and it's not slowed down and, you know, it doesn't seem to show an indication of slowing down. So I do feel that through June, we will be continuing to be strong. Having said that, you know, we are heading into the summer season, so it is normal to have some minor slowdown offtake in the months of June, July. But that also, we may be surprised. It may not happen this year. But no, the resurgence is sustained.
Resurgence is sustained. Okay, yeah. That's it from my side. I'll join the question.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Siva with iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good afternoon. My first question is regarding our defense products that we're dealing with. So is there any update regarding the same? Have we started selling the products yet?
No. Please to share on that, please.
Right. So I'm asking this question because I came across a recent interview with the management and we had guided that defense vertical could become like 5% of our sales and say 10% within 2 years or so. So that was the reason why I wanted to check on this, sir.
Do you have something to add?
Actually, see, we have been telling all the investors, defense takes time. You know, these are all hopes. So we don't want to, you know, jump on any figures as of now. But yes, we are working on defense. We are making samples. We are being approved by DRDO and defense department of the government. But there is nothing that we can share with the investors as of now. You know, these are all efforts going in that direction. Defense is still there as a division, but not something which we can, you know, tell now.
Sure, sir, understood. And my next question is regarding the textiles division. So I've been reading a few other companies. So the cotton spread has improved in latest quarter now. So this is a common commentary across multiple companies. So, but if you look at our margins, there's a slight dip even on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So why is this the case?
So in yarn there is no dip. Is there a dip in yarn? I don't think there's a dip in yarn.
So there is a positive profit EBIT level from 4 crores to positive 1.5 crores.
You may be talking about textile division as a whole, which includes garmenting. So garmenting may, yes, there is, but there is a negative bottom line, but the negative is lesser in Q4 as compared to the previous quarters. So we are trying to go in that same direction and keep reducing the losses. But in yarn, it is doing okay.
Basically, the query is from the market side that there is an increase in the yarn prices.
Yes, there is. So we have also experienced the same effect. We have also have improved margins in yarn in Q4 and current year Q1. It will reflect in the accounts in Q1 of current year.
Understood. So yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor with Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir. Hope I'm audible.
Yes. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, sir, firstly, for the opportunity and very strong set of numbers. Sir, only if you could just give me some more color on the factors that has led to... Hello?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. If you could give me some more color on the factors that has led to the improvement in margins on a Q1Q basis when we compare our results with the December quarter, with the March numbers in both the major segments of drum closure and the scaffolding, there is a significant margin improvement. And going ahead, are these factors in continuity that we would be able to post margins in the same vicinity in that trajectory? If you could just throw some more light.
Sure. So leaving aside the 20 crore one-time benefit that we received on account of quantity discount from our steel supplier, other than that, the margin improvement is because of increased quantity of sales. In the scaffolding segment, our US business has seen increased quantity of sales in this quarter compared to the December quarter. And that has actually been the main reason for the improvement in the margins, because of better utilization of the fixed operating expenses. And same thing applies in the drum closure quarter. There has been an increased quantity of sales of drum closure, and as a result of which the absolute profitability is higher. So I think those are the two key reasons.
Okay, and sir, do we look forward for these margins in the same vicinity X of the one-off to continue? And also on the utilization level, sir, where are we currently, and how should the current year be in terms of the utilization level?
So yes, the immediate quarter under purview, the June quarter, we are seeing this continue. So we are, you know, quite confident that this quarter is going along the similar lines. It's difficult to project for the full year at this time. And, you know, but yeah, for the current quarter, it is definitely going on along the similar lines.
Just only to add, sir, we must have an understanding of how the order booking is placed. So if you could just give the both the segment, I think so for scaffolding, you have mentioned about 4 lakh.
See, ours is not an order book driven business. We are in B2B business. We are not a EPC company where, you know, we take large amount of orders and revenue is a function of execution of those orders. So we don't track order books, but most of our sales are, X stock done from our warehouses and our distribution centers worldwide in scaffolding. Drum closure is a direct B2B business. So our revenue growth is clearly a function of demand from our customers, which continues to be strong. And, to that extent, we have kept our inventory levels optimum across our warehouses in the U.S. So we are in good position to service that demand.
Okay. So we are at optimum level of utilization. That is what we can
correct. Correct. Our utilizations are at optimum levels. Absolutely.
And we have plans, sir, to increase that going ahead.
To increase?
Like I said,
we are already doing some minor capacity increases in the scaffolding division this year. We are seeing about 10% increase in scaffolding capacity just due to some debottlenecking at our end. We will do the second phase of expansion of our aluminium formwork and extrusion capacity towards the end of this financial year or early next financial year.
Okay, and the capex amount, sir, how much have we envisaged for the same?
That may be about 150 crores.
Okay, sir. To conclude only, sir, we did 110 crore of capex as per the cash flow. So where have we invested that money? That was not in any capacity augmentation. That was only for the operational efficiencies that have, or the maintenance capex, that 110 crore. That we have spent last year.
That was done in FY26.
FY26, yes, yeah. Yes. Those were all normal capex that happens, debottlenecking various factors. There was no specific project related. Across all the divisions, it was there for improvement.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, and all the best to the team.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Avnish Tiwari with Vaikarya Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. In this VAC one, how is the competitive intensity or pricing in the new projects you're looking at? Last time you talked about there were some pockets where it was too intense and you were staying away from there. And then this aluminium prices, how are they passed on contractually? Can you just give us that idea when you get the material and when you supply or bill to the customer, is there any lead and lag in there?
Yes, so competitive intensity is very high and the capacities are continuously getting added in India. New players are continuously coming because of the demand. But we are quite comfortable yet in terms of managing that because the demand is also growing and, you know, there is enough growth in demand and enough market available to cater to all these capacities coming in. We are a premium player, so we are not dropping our prices. There are strategic competitive advantages that we offer to customers, and customers who buy from Technocraft recognize that there is a premium associated with our brand. So we are very selective with who we deal with and what our price point is. With regards to passing on aluminium costs and aluminium prices, so aluminium being very, very volatile, we typically, when we book orders, the prices are variable. We don't keep the prices fixed, and the selling price gets confirmed only after the design is approved and we are ready to buy the raw material. So that's how it is.
Great. In your engineering business, you are saying that AI is helping you become more productive, but does it reduce your addressable opportunity you could have captured because now less number of people will be deployed for the same amount of work, or you are sensing that the amount of work will exponentially increase hence you will capture full opportunity which you would have done without AI also.
The type of work that we are chasing has changed as a result of AI. You know, if we were to just chase the same type of work, then the opportunity will reduce. But to really embrace AI, we have pivoted our services and we are still pivoting to chase new opportunities. So AI has created new opportunities for us.
Can you give us some example of that?
Yeah, so you know, for example, if we were earlier doing, let's say, CAD-based services. Now, if we were to continue to do CAD-based services which are requiring engineers and draftsmen, then the opportunity will reduce. But on the other hand, if we chase digital transformation services where, you know, we have to build digital twins, for example, or we have to implement some automation for engineering companies, manufacturing companies, or we have to, you know, develop some platform for remote tracking of assets and build some intelligence into it. These are new opportunities. So you have to pivot and chase those. So we have been doing that.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Vansh Gupta with Prism Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
There are a lot of disturbances.
Is it any better now, sir? Hello.
No. Are you traveling?
Am I audible now, sir? Hello.
Yeah, now better. Please go ahead. Yeah.
Right. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So I just wanted to get an understanding. I believe you said that we are operating at about 100% utilization in scaffolding and formwork business. Is that right, sir?
In the formwork business, yes, but that's only in the extrusion plant. We are not operating at 100% in our Mac 1 fabrication, and nor are we operating at 100% in our scaffolding. Scaffolding, we would be operating probably at about 90%, and Mac 1 is variable up and down because our capacity is actually much more, but our actual production and dispatch is lower because it's determined by site conditions.
Got it, sir. So my question was really on the growth front, sir. Given that we're already operating at about 90% utilization in the scaffolding business and we've had about 8% growth in the scaffolding division this year, I just wanted to get an understanding, sir, of the growth prospects of the division and whether or not we are planning any incremental CapEx in the next 2 or 3 years, which will significantly increase our capacities, given that the annual volumes for the scaffolding division, they had decreased by about 6.5%. And the Mac 1 volumes as well for the quarter are down by about 17-odd%. So I just want to get an understanding of both the demand landscape in both scaffolding and Mac 1, given the decline year on year and the quarter on quarter decline in scaffolding and Mac 1. And also, are we planning any incremental significant capacities for the next 2-3 years? Any CapEx?
Yeah, so you see, in the scaffolding segment, we have already done some minor debottlenecking capex, as a result of which our capacities have gone up by about 10-15%, and the demand has gone up, which is why our utilization is so strong. So we will see growth to that extent in the coming financial year in the scaffolding segment. As far as Mac 1 is concerned, our capacity utilization is quite low. We are operating at about 60-70% capacity utilization, mainly because of slow site mobilization. We are expecting that to pick up. It's already improving. We are expecting, you know, with better client mining, we think that will improve. So that will automatically create revenue growth. And as far as your question regarding incremental capex, nothing significant this financial year.
Got it, sir. Given that our volumes in the scaffolding division have declined year on year, we are still not seeing any problems with growth going forward or in the demand environment.
The volumes declined year on year because of two slow quarter sales in the US, which was in the last financial year.
Right.
If that would not have, so that's why overall the capacity utilization during those two quarters would have been lower.
Got it, sir. Right, sir. Nothing else from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sanjay Kumar with iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunities. Just on a couple of questions on the textiles. First on yarn. I think we had restructured the operations, like, you know, shifting production from Murbad to Amravati, and now yarn spreads have improved. So despite this, we are still barely breaking even at the EBIT level in yarn. But is it fair to assume that we can do like 10% EBITDA margin in FY27 for the yarn business?
EBIT level is break even because of the high depreciation. You know, there is almost 46 crores of depreciation value in yarn. EBITDA, we are doing about 10% on EBITDA level. And I think it will, in the quarter one of this financial year, it will improve by 2-3 more percent on account of the yarn spread being better.
Got it. Okay. And second, on fabric division, I think here also we are looking at re-engineering to reduce costs. And I think
yes. We are very seriously looking at restructuring the fabric division.
Okay. And in this interview, we had also said that we are prepared to shut down the processing house and then get it done from external vendors. So any guidance, margin guidance for the fabric division in FY27?
I'm unable to comment on that. We are evaluating various possibilities of restructuring, and some strategies are being worked out.
Got it. And then no plans to sell or exit the fabric division or the yarn division going forward in the medium term or long term?
One of the possibilities?
No.
Would be one of the possibilities.
We are still evaluating various options.
Okay, because that will increase your returns, profitability ratios significantly. This is kind of pulling down our rest of the other high-quality businesses. So just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Thank you. And finally, what is the plastic closure capacity and how much sales did we do here in FY26?
I'm sorry, what? Plastic
closures.
Yeah. A breakup, item-wise?
We have sold plastic drum closure worth 35 crores in the complete year. Yeah. And the margin is, if not better, it is more than the drum closure margin, frankly speaking.
Okay. And any outlook for this sector? Are we adding capacity?
See, in plastic drum closures, it all depends upon the acceptance of the product. We are not manufacturing, you know, simple Bisleri Duncan kind of thing. We make very specialized plastics, which are, you know, anti-pilfering or those kind of things. So we are developing products and giving on sample basis. So it will, as soon as those products are accepted, the sales will increase. But there is no need of adding any capacity as such in plastics, yeah.
Got it. And finally, on the defense business, we own 70%. The remaining 30% is owned by Mr. Dr. Shalankar, or just want to understand who owns the remaining
30%? Yes. Mr. Shalankar.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Anubhav Mukherjee with Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the follow-up opportunity. I just had one small clarification. You mentioned that there was 20 crores of volume-led discount benefit in the EBIT of like the scaffolding and formwork division. And you also mentioned that there was 20 crores of forex benefit. So is it that 40 crores of benefit overall came one time in this quarter?
20 crores was only for the scaffolding division, and the 20 crore forex benefit is across all divisions, not just scaffolding.
Okay. So, but for the overall business, this quarter 40 crore of one time gain was here. Is my understanding
well,
correct?
The forex is not one time. No, forex is something that continues every quarter. The 20 crore of steel cop quantity discount, yes, it's one time.
Yes, sir. So just wanted to understand that forex only better.
Forex is something that comes. Forex can be negative or positive, and it comes every quarter.
Yes, sir. So, given that the exchange rate is, and it's obviously like INR has depreciated significantly compared to last year. So, will we be able to keep the benefit of that going forward as well, or do we have to pass on some of the benefits to us?
No. We'll be able to get the benefit of that.
See, I'll tell you, there are no imports by Technocraft as such. So whatever depreciation of rupee happens or appreciation of dollar and euro happens, there is a direct benefit, and the benefit is not at all required to be shared with the customers.
Yes, thanks. So this forex should not be used, 20 crore forex should not be used at one time. It's a part of our business.
Yeah, it can be seen, but thing is, today it's 96, so tomorrow it goes to 97, 98, then there will be a benefit as compared to the rate at which we are sold on the spot rate, right?
Get that. But sir, compared to last year, so we will be able to have better realization, right, in INR terms, because last year, so sir, 89, 90
So, gentlemen, it's like this. For the March quarter, it was 20 crores, but for the whole year, it was 46 crores.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Avish Tiwari with the Vaikarya Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. You were talking about a strategic advantage you have in MAC1 over some of your competitors. Can you just elaborate a bit on that?
We have our own. We are the only aluminium formwork company in the world that is backward integrated with our own aluminium extrusion plant. As a result of that, we are able to provide very high quality because we make the profiles in-house. So we are able to control the chemical composition, which is critical to providing the right strength and attaining the right number of repetition, which is the key. Most suppliers will say that you can get 100 repetitions, but in actual fact, you don't even get half of that. So that is a key strategic advantage. And as a result of having our own extrusion plant, we are also able to buy back our own formwork from the customers after usage and convert the used formwork to new formwork, which is a huge benefit. It saves working capital to customers and it gives the customer consistent quality. And now with our extrusion plant entering into its second year of operation and a reasonably good size of our own extrusion produced inventory in the market, we are seeing this recycling really taking shape. So this is our main comparative advantage.
Great. Maybe one question to Anil. Anil, this unallocated cost, which is high this quarter, are there some, what are the reasons for that? Is it forex loss sitting there or something else?
One second. Mainly because of the reduction in the mark-to-market value of investments.
That comes in this unallocated cost part, is it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. With that, we conclude today's conference call. On behalf of Systematics Institutional Equities and Technocraft Industries India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.